In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone. And without me, as last week and only a few times before that, is not your co-host, Andy Hart. Bunkfunkers, latest update from Andy. He is starting an OnlyFans, but here's the twist. He's starting an OnlyFans, but it's for fast food mascots. So Andy tells me he has some hot deals lined up. He's got Grimace is going to be onboarded soon, so you can watch Grimace finger itself. I don't know what Grimace is. You can watch Grimace finger bang itself, post nude photos of Grimace. You've got the Hamburglar. He does have the KFC Colonel. Andy tells me that he is working on getting the Noid on board, but that the Noid is very difficult to work with, which, Bugbuggers, I think you're seeing Andy's business sense come through here. I would never have approached the Noid for any kind of deal whatsoever. I don't know why he thought that that was a good business venture. Bugbuggers, this one, if you want to support it or not, I don't know. I think it's a little fucked up personally, but this is Andy's latest passion this week. Is he wants to start a fast food mascots, OnlyFans site. So, feel free to, I guess, Google that. I don't know, Bunkfunkers. But, here's the thing, though, Bunkfunkers. We've got a great guest co-host here this week for you. You know him. You love him. People have been calling him the AOL demo CD with limited minutes of podcasting. Please welcome to the show our good friend and yours, Ian Hamilton is here.
Hello, Art and Hi, Ian. Bunk Nation.
No, we're not Bunk Nation.
We are live, coast to coast.
No, I don't think we're live. We're not live, Ian. This is a podcast.
Oh. So that means we can pause and I can dump out?
I really need to see what the definition of dump out is, because I think that's like multiple different ways that it could go, and it's worrying me.
There's some German videos that will tell you exactly what dump out means. Mm. I'm wondering
German dungeon porn.
With Andy's OnlyFans, uh-huh. I know he's a big fan of Burger Chef.
Oh, yeah.
The Burger Chef mascot. I wonder if he's going to do any like sort of DILF porn.
It's going to be a lot of DILF. Style porn
with the Burger Chef. He has like a sidekick, I think.
Yeah, he does. Unfortunately, the sidekick is a teenage boy. So Andy wants to get into some real fucking legal trouble, I think he should stay away from Burger Chef.
I know, Wendy's.
Let's be honest. Like,
maybe he can stretch the truth and just be like, "Oh, high school, but 18."
Something tells me this is going to go the way of his Little Rascals plan and a few of his other plots, but.
He tried to, I remember a couple years ago, he was really passionate about that punked style show where he farted on people.
Right.
What was it called? Do you remember?
Funked, maybe?
Funked? Asked?
It's something, Andy gets these, he gets just like itch. He gets these schemes where he just, and then he just kind of goes on like a bender. And like, I just have to let it ride out until he gets it out of his bloodstream. And then,
yeah, he's
then
he's
he
really,
needs to like. Chill and sit on the open-faced toilet for like 2 years.
Yeah, he's your Dennis Rodman going to Las Vegas.
That's right. You got to let him just do his thing. He's the worm. He really is a worm. He's very worm-like. Speaking of stretching the truth, though, Ian, today's topic, This is a true crime one. This was one that you're really going to be able to sink your teeth into, Bunk Funkers. This is a whole enchilada. This is the Lost Dutch Girls of Panama.
The Lost. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if there's a title to it. It's two post recently graduated college students from the Netherlands go on a trip to Panama. And are never seen again. So
never seen again. In some very strange circumstances involving the evidence, there might be a cover up by the Panamanian government. We don't know, but all I know is that you know, this is quite a hefty whole enchilada.
You're gonna need a fork and a knife.
Yeah, because this is a hefty true crime whole enchilada. And of course, Bunkfuckers, if you want to get to all that delicious research, that might I add up top. Give a shout out. The day's research and the research portion was done by Ian Hamilton himself.
That's
Mr. Booker
me.
Recruited you to come in and do this research. Mm-hmm. This is all your work. Credit goes to you on this. So,
well,
a lot of Mr. pressure.
Bunker's always he's always liked me. He's always supported me.
Right.
He really, I don't know. He has a soft spot for me.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, I've done some bidding for him. Uh-huh. Some you may or may not remember. I flashy thingied you at one point.
You showed
have no
me
idea
your tits?
About, sure. And, you know, so me and him have a sort of quid pro quo going.
Ugh.
And he invited me to a fancy dinner party recently.
What?
Yeah. I showed up in a tuxedo and I had a mask on,
okay.
Not a COVID mask.
You
but
showed
a,
up in a fucking tuxedo? I don't believe that.
Yeah.
If you're showing up anywhere, it's in a tuxedo t-shirt with a corduroy jacket over the front.
It was a full tuxedo that happened to have the ass cut out. Okay.
So, okay, an ass flap tuxedo. I get that.
There was no flap. It was just the square was out. Okay. There's
ass
nothing to button
tuxedo.
Up here. And so he invited me to this really fancy party, and I was in an assless tuxedo, and all the other guests were in various forms of, I mean, I want to be comfortable at a party.
Okay. So you're going commando assless tuxedo. Got it.
Absolutely. And everyone else there has some form of, like, maybe a sleeve is missing.
Wow.
You know, maybe they're not wearing a shoe.
Okay.
But we're all wearing these masks like the Stanley Kubrick movie. What do you call it?
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut.
Right. Which I've actually never seen.
Great one.
It's on my list. I don't know why I've never seen it. What do you call those masks? Those, like, Renaissance?
Carnival.
Yeah. Carnival yeah. Okay. Sure.
You know, something like that.
And so we all, you know, I was holding mine with the dainty little,
like
the
a
little
stick?
Stick.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was holding it up to my face.
Wow.
Only
this
with,
is
with
fucked up.
Using only my thumb and my pinky. So.
Why? Why would you use your index finger and your thumb?
Well, because I'm trying to get better dexterity in my hands.
Okay.
So as a strengthening exercise. I was really working the pinky muscles.
Yeah, for what, I wonder?
Which, like, you think, oh, it's just a mask. It's not very heavy. But, like, you try holding something using your pinky and your thumb all night. It gets tiring.
Grip strength, apparently, is a good indicator of life expectancy.
Did you know that? No, I'm fucked.
I mean, obviously, correlation doesn't mean causation, but... People who tend to have a good grip strength also tend to be, you know, athletic and active and work out and live healthy lifestyles. So therefore, grip strength.
Oh boy, I'm going to check my pulse really quick, make sure I'm still breathing. Okay, anyone else out there, Bunk Funkers, do you ever wake up in the morning and you like squeeze your hands and they're like, it's like tough to squeeze your hands. It's like a soft, like you're really weak. Do you get that? Every once in a while, I'll meet someone else who gets this.
Yeah. I mean, you wake up in the morning and you're like,
it's like,
I feel like for me, it's like I see the boot up screen and it's like, okay, oh, yep, all those functions are still here.
Mm-hmm. But do you ever feel weak when you squeeze your hands? Like,
I think you know what it is. I think. Oh my God. Oh no.
Those are not sex noises.
Stop it.
Those are whiny little boy noises.
I think you're dehydrated when you first wake up because you've been asleep for 8+ hours.
Oh, I definitely know that if you like the elasticity on the skin between your thumb and your pointer finger, if you pull it, but if it goes back, if it takes longer to spring back, then you're dehydrated.
Right.
Sure. So I was at this fancy party with everyone just having body parts, various body parts out. Mine was the only one that seemed to be sexual in nature. Everyone else was just like very innocuous, like a shoulder or something. Mm. So I thought that was a little weird, but hey, I wasn't footing the bill for this tux, so who am I to complain? So then I'm whining, I'm dining, I'm 59ing.
Oh my God. We don't even know what that is.
Well, it turns out I'm not really flexible enough to do it. But I don't know who any of these people are, but we're having the best time. And I'm like, these are my people. Mm-hmm. Usually I'm socially awkward. I don't have to tell you about that.
I don't agree with that at all. I don't find you socially awkward even a little bit. But
okay. Well, I'm not socially awkward with people I'm comfortable with. But if I don't know anyone, you know, it's that thing.
All right. I still disagree, but, you know, sure.
Well, you know, you're a low threshold for, you are socially awkward, okay?
Yeah, you're able to maintain eye contact, so I'm like, this guy, he's got it going on, he knows
he's
what's up.
He's a genius, yeah. I fucking, the Fonz over here. Bald Fonz. But so, you know, we're mingling, these are the elites, these are, of society.
Sure. You would assume this is the
they run Fortune 500 companies.
Right.
One guy I met even had several chains of Krispy Kreme still.
Wow.
Yeah. And he gave me a free Krispy Kreme that was still warm because it was in his pocket, and that was delicious. Okay. Right. Yeah. And
He glazed your donut.
Well, it was just a glazed donut that was in his pocket.
Okay.
I mean, sure, he kind of rustled around for a little bit.
Sounds very sexual to say, hey, I've got a glazed donut in my pocket. You want to see it?
I mean, like, you know, it was still a good Krispy Kreme. It wasn't, I've never had a Krispy Kreme that's, what's the opposite of sweet?
Been in a pocket.
Salty?
What's the opposite of sweet? Bland? Salty, I guess. Yeah.
Salty. What's the other word for salty, though? Savory. That's what I'm looking for.
Savory.
So it was like kind of a savory Krispy Kreme. A little hint of pineapple in there, too.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
So that was really good, and that was really nice. I met the guy that owns the SeaWorld parks, and he... thinks that the documentary is great publicity, and the more he tortures these poor animals, the more people will like. He's going for a hate audience, like
full heel.
If they're gonna show up, they're still gonna have to buy tickets to protest inside. Right. So, he doesn't care if they're enjoying it or not. He just wants the money flowing in.
All press is good press to him.
Mm-hmm. And these are just very nice people. And I kind of felt like, wow, my life is coming together. You know, I'm finally taking a step up financially, job-wise, status-wise.
Classic Ian. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gaining power over the elite because I've now
shaking hands,
seen their bare shoulders and midriffs. And so I have... I'm blackmailing them essentially, and
all right.
Okay. Right. So I was just about ready to put my. I also got a lot of secrets out of them.
Oh,
yeah. Like one guy was wearing a toupee, and he didn't want anyone to know. And one woman.
Well, man, that fucking guy. Secrets revealed. Dirty laundry aired here on Mr. Bunker.
Yeah. Yeah, one woman had fake nails on.
They God, the fucking travesty. Oh my goodness, the scandal.
So I was getting the real I was getting the tea.
Yeah. You're really fucking rubbing shoulders here, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I was putting my pamphlet together to expose them for who they are.
Your pamphlet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are you, a fucking 1800s Bolshevik?
No. It's just like a standard accordion fold.
Okay.
You know, what is it? It's about
you
the
called
width
him your Kinko's
hand.
Guy?
Yeah. Frank. Frank and Jermaine, if Frank is in the back
is
room.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I called them. I got it printed in a blue background with yellow lettering. And I was just about ready to send it to the press when all of a sudden the walls started to melt around me. And it turns out I had been heavily drugged.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And then I woke up here in the bunker.
Holy fuck. Mm-hmm. So was that real or not?
You know, the bunk man, he likes to do this shit to me. I mean, he put me on a private jet once and then drugged me and got me in the bunker. And
Jesus Christ.
All that really matters to me is I thought I was in a private jet. So,
I mean, how do you feel about these? You know, this is not something that I think should be taken lightly.
I feel like I got robbed of a good trip, you know?
Like, I would be fucking mortified if somebody did this to me.
Sure, but you know, it's our thing. Me and him have a established rapport. It's our little cat and mouse that we play.
I don't know, Ian. You're too nice.
He drugs me.
You give this guy a fucking inch, he'll take a mile. Trust me, it's not going to be long before you're getting.
Hey, I give him more than an inch. Okay.
Inch and a quarter.
Yeah, an inch ish.
And it's not about the inch, it's about what he even does with the inch. Well, Ian, I'm sorry that happened to you, but hey, at least you didn't get bodily harmed, I guess. And I don't know, is you're feeling all right? You know?
I appear to have all of my faculties,
right,
except for the slight, this is very slight, I don't have control of any of my motor functions on the left side of my body. So,
all right. Yeah, you're fine. You're all right.
So, right. Like, it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's water under the bridge. I'm just glad to be.
You're all right.
Yeah. Why do you
feel right.
your eyes like that?
Yeah, the left side isn't working, so you're all right. I'm going to keep saying it so you fucking acknowledge it.
No, I can't believe I set you up for that. And then you said it and I didn't even get it.
Oh my God. Well, Ian, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's like you had a good time, but then, you know, you're stuck here in the bunker with me. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know whether to feel bad for you. I just kind of feel ambivalent, I guess. I don't know. It's like you didn't get captured in some way. You didn't get dragged around. You just, I mean, yes. Okay. I'm not making light of their forced drugging, but it seems like, you know,
you're
fine with it. You're okay with it. You seem to have say like this is a rapport that you have with Mr. Bunker. So
yeah, it's our little game of cat and mouse
not making,
that we play.
I don't think you should play this game anymore.
I don't remember if I'm the cat or the mouse though.
If you're Tom or Jerry.
Yeah. And actually, now that you mention it, my foot is in a trap.
Oh Jesus
also.
Christ! Oh my God!
Yeah, and there is I am bleeding now that you mention it.
Okay. All right.
Also,
I don't know where the first aid kit is down here. I don't think there is a first aid kit down here, to be honest. So we might just have to rip up a couple of t-shirts and fucking.
Well, I mean, I don't need a first aid kit. I'm fine.
Bunkfuckers, I am an armchair psychologist. I am not a medical doctor, so I don't know how to fucking unpack this one. But
well, if you're going to do CPR, you do it to the rhythm of the song Staying Alive, okay?
That's right.
Ah, 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 ah. Staying alive. Staying alive.
No, I think it's more like, ah, 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 ah. Staying alive. Staying alive.
yeah, that's when you really press into their chest.
That's right. you really want to, yeah. I mean, we all know that the rhythm of a heartbeat is 70s disco. So
yeah, you know how people can accidentally break somebody's rib when they're giving them CPR?
I guess, yeah. Now I know.
You never heard that?
No, I never heard of that.
Yeah, sometimes you could get a broken rib when you're, or like a Heimlich maneuver, like they'll, Jeez. You know, they'll be doing it to you and they accidentally break your ribs. But when they're giving CPR, usually the rib is broken on the high part when they're holding out staying alive there because they're getting too into the song.
Well, be careful when you're giving CPR, Bunkfuckers. I think that's the lesson we can take from this. And perfect segue, Ian, be careful when you're traveling abroad. Because today's topic is all about, it's a very unfortunate tale, but it is about two people who went traveling abroad and were never seen again. And
it is a dark and disturbing story.
It is. It is. And, you know, we're going to unpack it. I mean, there is a hefty whole enchilada coming your way here, Bunkfunkers, on the disappearance of the two Dutch girls in Panama here. Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast.
Tell me, Art, do you know why Montreal is one of the top bachelor party cities in North America?
No.
According to yourbachelorparty.com, Montreal has long been a popular bachelor party destination because it is easy to get to from anywhere in the United States. It is full of bars, nightclubs, and other hotspots, and the favorable exchange rate makes it even more affordable. According to me, it's because in Montreal, the strippers allow, nay, encourage that you touch all up on them.
Why are you fucking telling me this, Ian?
To illustrate that a young to mid-20-something-year-old can have a fabulous time when they are traveling abroad, even if they've recently suffered a back injury.
All right, so we're talking about you. You went to Montreal and you touched some fucking titties.
Which leads to my question for you,
God
Art.
God damn it.
Have you even been out of the basement?
Oh, okay. No. Not in years, Ian. I mean, between school, you know, my peers, I guess you could call them, ridiculing me, my teachers piling on and affirming said ridicule. I had, you know, two bad run-ins with some birds. And that guy that punched me on the L train, you know, here's the thing. I don't really see the point in leaving the safety of my basement. I live a simple life, Ian. I'm chugging Mountain Dew, I'm eating Doritos, and I'm working out, aka I'm doing Kegels. It's not a good life. But it's my life.
I hope the Bunkfunkers out there will emulate your commitment to a strong pelvic floor, Art. Unfortunately, after today's topic, some of our listeners might emulate not leaving the safety of their basements, because today we're talking about the disappearance of two Dutch women in Panama, and we're going to give you a whole heaping helping of enchilada on this one.
Now, quickly, and I'll have to, you know, initiate you. Please place your right hand on the open vase toilet and answer me honestly.
Okay.
Thank you. We call this assuming the position.
Oh, right. Do you on the, promise, right on the flusher here?
Right on. Nope. You have to put your hand on the seat.
Oh. Do I have to close the seat on my hand? This is disgusting.
Oh my God. You're already asking too many questions.
This is a lot of hairs on
Just
here.
Put your hand on the thing.
Okay.
Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole steaming enchilada, and nothing but the truth? So help you, Mr. Bunker.
I do.
Great. Let's get started then. Two recent college graduates we're talking about are Lisanne Froon and Chris Kremers. Now, am I pronouncing those correctly?
It's just Lisanne.
Lisanne. Lisanne and Chris. These are two Dutch students and friends from the Netherlands who saved up their money for 6 months while planning a 6-week trip of a lifetime.
Lisanne had not done much traveling. But Chris formed a deep connection with South America after a trip to Peru with her family, so they chose Panama as their destination. No word on if these girls were huge Van Halen fans or not, and whether they played any part in their decision.
I mean, if Van Halen doesn't contribute to your travel plans, then you're just running with the devil. But the trip wasn't only to travel. It was also to find and serve Panamanian children. Very admirable. Before the trip, they had even raised money to buy toys, you know, arranging to teach Dutch at a Spanish language school starting on March 31st. They landed in Panama on March 15th to spend 2 weeks of, you know, sightseeing and soaking in the culture first before going to teach.
They spent much of their free time in Bocas del Toro, hanging out with some male Dutch tourists they had met in the city, keeping in touch with their families every day of the trip. After 2 weeks of fun, it was time to set out for the tiny village of Boquet to start their teaching.
Now, upon arriving at the language school, the two were upset to learn that the school wasn't ready to receive them for yet another week. I mean, the reasoning here wasn't very clear, and the girls were, like, distraught to learn this as they had been in regular contact with this school for months. I mean, you know, they're planning a lot here, and now all of a sudden they just have this extra week. The school even emailed them on Friday confirming everything set up for their Monday arrival.
With a new week of free time on their hands, the school hooked them up with a tour guide, Feliciano Gonzalez. The school had also previously set them up at a local home run by a woman named Miriam, who regularly housed international students and travelers. Although the school had pulled the floor out from under them, they had at least accommodated their needs and even helped plan events for later that week, like going to a strawberry farm, a coffee plantation, and hiking a volcano.
Now, those activities would all be later in the week. The two were on their own to find something to do on April 1st. On March 31st, they went to brunch. They walked around the town and were home before sundown. That night, Miriam had a chance to speak with them a bit and later would describe them as, quote unquote, restless, and mentioned that Lisanne had a cough and possibly could have been ill. Now, this was in 2014, so we can confirm she was not sick with COVID.
Thank God.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't COVID.
That's right.
The next day, Lisanne texted her boyfriend that they were going for a hike. The girls set out in shorts and tank tops, taking one backpack. Packing lightly, they took some American currency, a digital camera, two cell phones, a passport, and an insurance card.
A taxi dropped them off at a local trail known as Pianista. Pianista, at 1:40 p.m. Later investigations, however, would clock their drop-off time at actually around 11 a.m. Although some locals urged them to have a guide with them, the girls felt safe going out alone, as it was not regarded by hiking enthusiasts as a difficult trail. Also, they were accompanied by Azul, the dog from a local restaurant that would often follow people on the trail.
Aw, Azul.
Taking selfies and pictures on the digital camera along the way, the women can be seen smiling up the hill and making their way up the trail. Most pictures feature Chris, as Lisanne was the one with the camera. The last two pictures near a creek, however, don't feature Chris smiling at all. Going up the hill is the last time anyone would see Chris and Lisanne alive. The dog returned to the village, but the girls did not.
Now, here's where the mystery begins, Bunkfunkers. And don't worry, all that information pipe we just laid will pay off soon.
Yeah, laying that information pipe.
Yeah, we laid some information pipe on you, Bunkfunkers.
Their disappearance was suspected the next day when they did not show up for an appointment with their tour guide, Feliciano, who became worried. He went to the school to see if the girls were there, but the school had not seen them and referred them to Miriam's house. Arriving at Miriam's house, she confirmed they had not come back the night before.
I mean, they are young. They're young people, after all. And so I've been told young people like to stay out and late having a good time. And that's what Miriam thought as well. This is all something I would, you know nothing about.
Right. This is just research you've
yeah,
done.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that people tell me. This is not things that I've ever seen employed by myself or, you know,
so
wherever.
You can't prove that it happens. It's all...
Right. It's all a hypothesis to me that people, young people like to stay out and have a good time and, I guess, socialize. I don't know. Socialize.
Once the authorities were informed, a full-scale search of the jungles commenced. Helicopters, local volunteers, the works. The girl's parents even arrived from the Netherlands on April 6th with a pair of private detectives to help.
On April 7th, the president of Panama, Ricardo Martinelli, went on TV and announced that Panama was doing everything in its power to find these girls. 25 trails were searched by hundreds of people, experts, and dogs to no avail. There was no trace, trail, or clues to the girls' whereabouts found. After 10 days and no leads, the search was called off.
There was even a $30,000 reward for any information that would lead to their whereabouts, living or dead. That was the equivalent of $500,000 in Panama at the time. Locals worked together in groups motivated to change the fortunes of their homes or villages, trying to find something, anything, but nothing was ever found.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
Wow. Disappeared without a trace, I guess. Nothing was ever found. Like, they just disappeared into thin air.
And that, Bunk Funkers, is the case of the myth of the... Oh, shit. Wait, there's more.
Oh.
Oh, there's a lot more. Oh, my God. There are so many more twists and turns to this case that we didn't get to yet. Many pages of info.
Ian, how did you mess up so badly?
Sorry, my pages were stuck together.
Stuck together with what?
Oh, you would go there. You would go blue immediately.
I wasn't going to say come, Ian, jeez.
Then what were you going to say?
Well, now I don't want to say it because you're going to think I'm stupid.
I'll say what it is, and at the same time, you say what you were thinking, okay?
Okay.
On the count of three. One, two, three. Gack! Nickelodeon signature goo!
Yes, I knew it!
You know me too well. This is an old notebook. I think it's from second grade.
It checks out, see? Old already knew.
What clue broke the case, Art?
Well, Ian, my boy. 10 weeks later, the girl's backpack was found 5 miles downriver near an unmapped village called Alto Romero. A local woman had been in the area the day before and did not see it, so assumed it must have floated downstream.
Well, now we're onto something.
Here's starting to get weird. The backpack was found in exquisite condition.
That's really strange.
Yeah. Even stranger is that the contents of the backpack were 2 pairs of sunglasses, Lisanne's passport, the water bottle, Lisanne's digital camera, both of the women's phones in good condition, 2 bras, neatly folded. The $83 in cash wasn't even taken out. It was all still in there.
The backpack was clean and all its contents were in order, as if teleported through a wormhole or something.
I mean, it's technically not impossible, Ian, but that's not what the Panamanian government official's stance was.
After the backpack was found so far away from the original site, new search efforts were made. They mainly concentrated along the river and the area the backpack was found in. This new area of search turned up more clues.
Unfortunately, here is where the story gets gruesome, Bunk Funkers. The following pieces of evidence were found along the river's edge, but miles away from one another.
33 scattered bone fragments, a pelvic bone, a rib bone, denim shorts that either floated down the river or were neatly folded. There are conflicting reports on that. There were 2 shoes found. One was not the girl's, and the other contained Lisanne's barely decomposed foot, which had several fractures near the toes. Forensics said the lightly laced boot could have preserved the foot, as opposed to the other remains, which are mostly bones.
Most gruesomely, on August 29th, 152 days after the girls went missing, there were lower leg bones and a piece of rolled up, not decomposed skin along the river. It's worth noting that in the jungle and after 4 months, I mean, bunkfuckers, it would be extremely unusual for skin not to decompose.
Forensic evidence confirmed all these body parts belonged to the 2 women. The bones belonged to Chris and had been bleached and did not have many or any cuts or scrapes on them.
I mean, this is insane.
I can't believe I almost missed this dictionary-sized enchilada of evidence. We haven't even gotten to their cell phones or the digital camera yet.
All right, you eggheads. We've got some dates and times for you. And sleuths, we've got some interesting pictures. So that pretty much compromises, like, you know, everybody. So listen up.
We've got a timeline, Art. Say, did you ever have to make a timeline of the dinosaurs chart in elementary school?
What?
I'm having a flashback of having to tape a bunch of pieces of paper together and show how long the Jurassic period and the Triassic periods were. We drew dinosaurs and colored them in and stuff. And at the end of the long taped together timeline would be just a little sliver that would be the amount of time human beings have been on Earth.
Ian, no disrespect, but to quote David Cross from Men in Black, and that means what to me?
Wow, you know that line? Good reference, Art.
Ian, I don't know that reference. You fucking wrote that line for me.
True. It's one of those subtle, great performances that has stuck out to me for years. He does so much with so little in that movie.
Oh, God. All right, getting back to the actual timeline of this topic, the girls were dropped off at the trailhead at 11 a.m. We know this because of the time signatures on the digital camera that was found in the backpack. The first picture was taken shortly after that.
The last picture at a river past the hill was taken at 2:30 p.m. It is worth noting that Chris is not all smiles in these pictures, and her body language is different, leading some to believe that maybe the women were accompanied by a stranger at that point, a stranger that made Chris feel uneasy, which is how Art perceives himself around others. But really, he's actually perfectly fine and fun to hang out with.
Hey, hey, don't you psychoanalyze me on this show, Ian. You stay in your lane, bub. You know, you don't see me making obscure references and extruding too cool for school schlub energy or talking about my bad back, do you?
No.
I am a sick weirdo and people don't like being around me. And I'm a robot, very unemotional, except for anger.
I was going to say, you're kind of emotional right now.
No, that's the fun juxtaposition is that people say I'm an unemotional robot, but I'm probably the most emotional person on the show. I only rant about things that have no meaning whatsoever.
I love when Art's screaming at me about nonsense. It's such a fun juxtaposition, especially when everyone at Arby's is looking at us and he won't stop.
You love going to Arby's with me.
For the curly fries.
Anyway, the Panamanian government suggests that this is when the girls went beyond the trail. Up until this point, the trail leads to a continental divide. Beyond that, it's not really suggested for tourists or people without a guide. But the women kept on going, you know, maybe because they heard there were waterfalls in the area. Fucking Christ. God damn it. Goddamn waterfalls. Is there no end to their reign of terror?
It's like people don't even heed TLC's warnings.
Did you not listen to the song, people? Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. God damn it.
God. I'm sorry. This is a public apology to TLC.
We all should be apologizing to them. And they should be That's running right. our lives because they know what's up. Tell me what to do, TLC, and then my life will be in order.
That's right.
Also, did you get that the continental divide is like the divide between North and South America?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought I would clarify for the bunk funkers. So this trail is right up against the continental divide. It actually ends right at it and turns into another trail, which we'll get to. Jeez. At 4:39 p.m., Chris's phone dialed 911, but could not get a signal. At 4:51 p.m., Lisanne's phone also dialed 911 and could not get a signal.
Now, beyond the original trail is something called a monkey bridge over some rocks and rapids. And no, bunk funkers, this isn't a bridge where evil rhinos and collectible floating letters and bananas and no, Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong aren't being projectiled through floating barrels above this bridge. Stop assuming that. A monkey bridge is actually a lot more terrifying. It's a series of ropes that make a very sketchy bridge. It's literally just one rope across, like walking a tightrope. And then there's like two stabilizing ropes on it, probably where like shoulder length, I imagine, or maybe even lower. And then like three ropes are held together by a series of very tiny ropes that might as well just be fucking strings. It bounces, it wobbles the entire time you walk on it, and the handle ropes are frayed and they cut your fingers to shit. It's terrifying. I would not go on this bridge.
Yeah, the woman on this Travel Channel documentary was trying to do it and cut her hand like 3 times on it.
Jesus.
And then also, side note, in this Travel Channel documentary, they make it seem like she's about to fall off the bridge and cut to commercial. And they're like, whoa, drop the camera, help her. And then they cut back and she, again, they do the thing where she's about to fall off. They're like, whoa, oh my God. And then she's just like, oh, just like my foot slipped. It's fine.
God damn it.
I could not believe that they pulled that shit on
me. Fucking Travel Channel.
I know. It is the Panamanian government's official position that they fell into the river and were smashed to pieces so severely by the rocks that they were essentially dismembered by the river.
Okay. So you're saying they fell into the river, then were killed and dismembered, then called for help.
Don't be ridiculous. They fell into the river, then called for help, then were killed and dismembered.
So they were killed and dismembered.
Shit. Yes. Oh, excuse me. Ah, they were killed and dismembered by the river. What's that to understand? One of the fractures in the foot was found. That was found as clear evidence of this. And so they say.
But Ian, there were multiple 911 calls made from each cell phone over the next several days. The phones were turned on and off to preserve battery. One time the call even went through for a minute.
Okay. So they fell into the river, floated for a while, a couple days, tried calling, then were dismembered. Also somewhere in there, they folded their clothing and put everything nice and neat in their backpack. What's not to understand?
On April 5th, LaSanne's phone died and was not used again. Chris also did not make any calls after 10.05 a.m. on April 5th, but someone tried to access the phone unsuccessfully by entering the wrong PIN multiple times up until April 11th.
The rocks must have been hitting the phone and entering the wrong PIN. Oof.
And on April 7th, 90 photographs were taken by the digital camera. Almost all of them are in the dark, and there doesn't seem to be any reason for them, but one picture is clearly of the back of Chris's head, tangled hair with possible injuries to her temple, but her hair is very clean. Not like someone who's been floating in a river or in a jungle for 8 days. Oh, God, I can't fucking look at this. Oh, God, Bunk Funkers. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, gotta blow my nose after that.
Oh, God. We're out of sawdust, too, you fucking asshole.
Sorry.
Woo.
I'm sorry, Art. There's so much enchilada to get through, and we've already had so much. I don't know if I have the same appetite as Andy. I can't keep up.
I don't blame you. But you fucking swore the bunker oath to me, Ian. The whole steamy enchilada. That's what you promised. And by God, that's what you're going to cram down your taco sucker no matter what.
Speaking of steamy enchilada, I also burnt my tongue.
Like working with a child. So the Panamanian government's official theory... That's their official theory. They fell off a bridge and then
smashed them to a bunch of pieces.
We're ignoring all that evidence that they were still alive after that time. But let's see what the skeptics think.
After 4 months of investigation, Art, and hundreds of people helping out, helicopters, international detectives, all of the scrutiny, and their official position...
Yeah.
Is that they fell in the river and were smashed to pieces.
Right. As when one does when you fall in a river.
Oh, yeah. Like you're made of Legos or something. Oh, that's just it, Art. The skeptics think. It would have been funnier if I would have followed it up with the last line, but that's okay. Look at the evidence the government ignored.
Easy, my little stegosaurus. No verdicts until all the facts are in.
The skeptics think this was a cover-up by the Panamanian government, blaming the girls for being reckless hikers that strayed off the trail and fell to their deaths is a much better story for them than two innocent tourists went for an easy day walk and ended up dismembered.
Now, in 2019, pre-pandemic, Panama was raking in a cool $7.45 billion. Someone called Paul Giamatti. We got billions per year.
Yeah, not Damian Lewis anymore, though. He's
not Damian Lewis because I couldn't remember his name.
He left. I saw him on the street in New York twice, and hearing him use his actual British accent was kind of jarring to me.
Isn't he Welsh?
Probably.
Anyway, from tourism, that's $7.45 billion per year. In 2000, tourism and travel accounted for 4.9% of Panama's GDP. That's a big fucking chunk. Mm-hmm. But by 2019, it accounted for 14.1%. Now, this was international incident with South American, Dutch, and worldwide news coverage. Let's just say they could not let this story get out of control.
Among the skeptics were the parents of the girls who ended up filing a lawsuit against the government for botching this investigation. If it wasn't a simple fall, then what did happen to these girls, Art?
Well, I don't know, Ian, but some have speculated that they were attacked by an animal who picked their bones clean. Others say that maybe they met someone on the trail, well, who realized that they were vulnerable and led them somewhere at gunpoint.
Now, this area and trail is well known for drug trafficking. However, during the day, it is heavily populated. Locals bring their cattle on the trail. There are plenty of tourists walking about, and there are people that live along it. It's tough to think that the girls could not have figured out a way to get someone's attention if they needed help. Not to mention, if they were dragged off by a gang of rabid weasels, let's say, which, without looking up or knowing anything about zoological footprints of Panama, I assume is the animal population of the area. I don't have any evidence to back it up, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that
rabid weasels.
Panama is filled with rabid weasels. And if you're a tourist, that's what you should look out for. Get your rabies shot. Wait, that's not preventative, but, you know, get a rabies, a preventative, the first of its kind preventative rabies shot before you go.
Uh-huh. Right.
Then why was there absolutely no sign of them or a struggle to be found, Art?
I don't know, Ian, but let's start with the idea that the girls fell from the monkey bridge. Chris's parents have a walkthrough video of the trail that they posted under their quote-unquote Answers for Chris initiative. Starting at 11 a.m., it is plain to see that this is an easy trail that is nearly impossible to get lost on. It's just one trail, doesn't splinter off. It's a mild hike that is somewhat flat, and, you know, it even has some walls on both sides of it. It's very clear that this is a well-walked path, and there's really no way to fall anywhere along it. If someone were to get hurt along the trail, it would be very easy to find your way back for help. Now, let's look at the photos from the hike. The Panamanian government has a timeline that, I mean, honestly, just does not add up with these photos. Citizen sleuths have realized that there are minor but important inconsistencies in the photos. The amount of sunlight or cloud cover, to the way the girl's hair is worn from frame to frame, and who is wearing the backpack in each picture. You can rearrange the photos to tell a different story.
From a simple walkthrough of the trail that matches the landscapes with the pictures, it is clear that when the government says the girls are walking beyond the Continental Divide, they are actually turning around and walking back towards the summit. This is confirmed by locals, the parents, and even the Travel Channel. Everyone seems to agree that this one picture that the government says, see, they're going that way. Everyone else is like, no, they turned around and went back.
It's a lot of people. Now, the camera has damning evidence of its own, or at least it used to. The images from the walk are labeled number 500 through 510 on the camera. Image number 509 may have been the smoking gun that could crack this case. But we will never know because it was deleted via computer much later in a way that makes the image irretrievable.
This was confirmed by JJ, the co-host slash cameraman of that Travel Channel show.
You can be a co-host slash cameraman?
Sure, Art. All it takes is a spunky, camera-ready female co-host to be filmed, a second bearded cameraman co-host to film her, and several more cameras around to film you filming her.
Neat. Now, if the government lied about the timeline of the photos and tampered with the fucking evidence, then, I mean, what else are they covering up here?
Cover up is such a harsh term, Art, but that's definitely what fucking happened. Are you ready for some hot, spicy green sauce to pour all over this enchilada?
Oh, yeah. Overflow my not deep enough to be a bowl, but not flat enough to be a plate. With that green sauce, baby.
You know what I'm talking about with those?
I 100% know what you're talking about because we have two of them.
Wow. I love it. There were at least six witnesses that say they saw the girls leave the trail unharmed out of the normal exit.
Say what?
There were at least six witnesses that say they saw the girls leave the trail unharmed out of the normal exit.
No, Ian, I heard you the first time. It's just an expression.
Yeah, kind of a dated one. That's why I roasted you just now. By you thought I was doing a bad joke, but I was roasting your bad joke.
Right. Huh. Boy, oh boy, this is getting
contentious. I don't know if it's a bad joke. It's just well-worn, you know?
Jeez Louise. Let's just say if you were crossing a monkey bridge, I wouldn't help stabilize it.
Wow.
Ian, it looks like we're going to have to redo this entire fucking timeline again. Everything is suspicious and everyone is a suspect.
Redo the timeline? Hopping over from Jurassic Park to the fun but lesser Jurassic World?
Those movies are on the same timeline. Jurassic World is just a series of sequels.
I wish they'd redo the timeline to not make five sequels, but I see your point. Yeah. Shout out to YouTuber Joe Bankston, who has in the last 6 months put out the most comprehensive collection of evidence and citizen sleuthing that we could find.
Now, some opinions expressed in this script are of those of writer and researcher Ian Hamilton, but
also the opinions of plenty of people commenting on the YouTube videos. In a somewhat poorly made two-part documentary on YouTube, Joe lays out the case for the abduction of the girls by a local young gang known as La Banda Los ND5. Or maybe it's just Los ND5. This documentary uses found footage, social media, and resources from the Panamanian local news as well as Dutch investigative journalism to make a compelling case.
Now, what Joe lacks in production value, he makes up for in really giving a shit about this topic. You can watch plenty of 17-minute YouTube synopsis videos out there, and trust me, I have. But he has clearly been doing a deep dive on this subject for years, building towards his magnum opus. I just wish you could have gotten someone else to cut together and edit everything.
What's the matter, Art? You don't like reading white letters over a black background for an hour and a half?
Jesus Christ.
I usually, when I'm listening to documentaries, I play video games. I couldn't play Madden and keep my franchise that's now in the year 2043 going because I had to read the whole thing.
I'm sorry, Ian. I'm sorry that happened.
Thank you. It was a very difficult time in my life where I had to pay attention.
I hope that the Kansas City Killer Care Bears can, make it back from wherever they are with winning their Super Bowls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. When I played Madden as a kid, I used to always name my creative team the Killer Care Bears.
Nice.
It was a playoff of the Bears, but I wanted to be the Care Bears. But I have to be mean and aggressive. They can't just be the Care Bears.
Oh, well, this is Madden. I almost said Mad Men. This is Madden, so, you know, they use official
So what's the name
franchises.
Of your team? Who are you playing?
Oh, I'm the Panthers.
Oh, okay.
And I have 20 Super Bowls, I think. Jesus. But I've lost three, I think. So I try to be a purist. I don't.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Ian wants the truth, just like this YouTuber, Joe, wanted to put that out on YouTube. So it starts with the Spanish language school. How could they have been so caught off guard by the girl showing up on Monday when they had been in constant contact with them? Was their booking even legitimate? I mean, they did, after all, book it with the head of the Spanish language school in Bocas del Toro and Boquete. Is it Boquete?
Yeah.
Yeah, Boquete. It was the school that referred them to Feliciano, the tour guide, Miriam, their hostess, and recommended places to go around town.
It was Feliciano whose appointment they did not show up to. He went to the school, who sent him to Miriam, who gave him a key to their room. Reportedly, Feliciano was alone in their room for 30 minutes and then took 5 hours to contact authorities.
I mean, that's fucking sus.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize that Feliciano was the one who found Chris's pelvic bone and scattered remains among the river?
Oh, get, hop on board, bunk funkers, because we're riding the sus bus. Okay, stay behind the fucking yellow line, because we're about to floor it. Feliciano also owns plenty of land along the river in the area the remains had been found in.
Oh, and also, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, one of Feliciano's sons is in Los ND5.
Feliciano was already known to the girls. In town, he had passed them in his car and introduced them to his son, Henry, either the day before or earlier that day. I can't remember.
After coming out of the trail, the girls went to a pharmacy. The pharmacy's CCTV camera just so happened to malfunction that day. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But we do have eyewitness testimonies of them being there.
And the pharmacy, the people that own that, are also connected to ND5. I think it's one of their sons, or maybe a nephew or something. But after failing to wave down a taxi, the girls ran into Henry and his friend, who convinced them to go to a spring to go swimming with them. The girls may or may not have stopped back at Miriam's to grab their bathing suits, which means Francisco may or may not have tidied up their room and maybe taken two of their bras to make it seem as if they hadn't been back.
Now, on the way to the springs, the girls may not have had a good feeling about the guys, so they discreetly dialed 911 on with their phones, but could not get any signal.
The boys and girls went swimming in the spring. We know this because Osman, another member of the gang, went missing 3 days later and was soon found drowned in a river. His phone contained what's known as the swimming photo, which shows him, Hector, and it's fuzzy, but sure looks an awful lot like two Dutch girls.
Now, after they went swimming, two of the men drew guns on the girls, and one of them had a machete, and they forced the girls to an abandoned cabin in the jungle.
An associate of the gang's was Plinio Montenegro. Something like that. A driver and tour guide for the Boquete and Bocas del Toro area. He was a driver for a youth hostel and an alleged, quote, tourist spotter for a cartel in Costa Rica that dealt in human trafficking.
The plan was to kidnap the girls, take them to a cabin where they would be passed onto Plinio.
Plinio?
What is it?
Plinio?
Yeah, Plinio.
Yeah.
And send them into Costa Rican human trafficking circles.
However, the plan got turned upside down when Plinio's contact backed out for some reason, which left Plinio to back out. All of a sudden, Los ND5 had two hostages and no plan.
This leads to arguments and panic between the gang that eventually lead to Osman to storm off. Feeling Osman was now a liability, they hunted him down and drowned him in the river.
Since the cabin was no longer a safe space, they led the girls to a cave where they held them for several days and possibly moved them around a bit. Eventually, another solution was found. They had contacts with criminal enterprises that harvested and sold organs on the black market. A pair of fresh lungs were needed, and it didn't matter who they came from.
Now, you can probably put the story together for yourself after that, Bunk Funkers. The girls met a tragic and most likely lengthy ordeal that led to their deaths.
How do we know all these extra details? First of all, Los ND5 was made up of teenage boys turned young men. They posted so much stuff on Facebook that did not make it hard to put some of these things together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The documentary guy, also, he just scoured all of their public info.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Also, it turns out there was an informant. One of the women associated with the gang was witness to some of this and came forward to the police. She was sent to Costa Rica for her own protection. There is an early local news story that shows a government official talking about a promising informant that gave them some hot leads.
The biggest takeaway is that these monsters were people well ingrained in the tourist support community. They knew how to manipulate people, time, and information to make tourists easy victims, and at the same time, make themselves valuable assets to the investigation. These were people that were heavily involved in the search for the girls. They gave local information to authorities and even supported the government's narrative on the news. So they basically had their hands in every aspect of this and just knew how to work the system so that it looked like, oh, they disappeared. I don't know.
It's the jungle. You get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bunkfuckers, even when you travel in pairs, you want to keep your eyes and ears open. It's all fun and games until someone runs into a heaping helping, the whole gelato. Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food. So, come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Hey, welcome back, Bunkfuckers. That was our research of the lost Dutch girls of Panama. Oh, boy. I mean, Ian, we talked about it briefly in the interim, but some more developments coming our way on this topic.
Yeah, there is actually going to be a part three to this documentary on YouTube. It's made by, I don't know, his page is called Alternate Theories. And I said the guy's name before, Joe Beckman? Something like that. You could rewind, Bunk Funkers, because I sure as hell am not gonna. But
you can Google things. I mean, the Google search, if you fucking, you know, put in Lost Dutch Girls of Panama into YouTube, I'm sure you're going to find some videos about it.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I'm trying to figure out when these two documentaries came out, because I'm pretty sure one came out in November and the other one just came out this March 2022. So this is all very new, very fresh evidence. But I mean, there is clearly a community that has been obsessed with this story online for years.
Yeah.
There are videos of people, you know, really just scouring the photos for any little bit of evidence they can find, you know, enhancing them to make them, you know, better quality to see. Like one I was watching and the guy's like, you can see in this picture that she's holding two water bottles. And you're like, okay. And her phone is in her pocket. It's like, yeah, you did enhance the photo to show that. And you're right. We only had one water bottle at the end and there are two water bottles there. But
I mean, on the one hand, you have to commend. This is admirable. These citizen sleuths, God bless them. We love a fucking sleuth on this show. We always celebrate a sleuth. And good for them because, you know, the families deserve fucking closure and they deserve justice for what fucking transpired here. This is, I mean, this is the unfortunate and the kind of Cthulian fucking, you know, reveal here is that this is part of a larger, this is not the only story of this ever happening. Let's just put it that way, right? Like tourists being kidnapped and essentially tortured and then sold into what is probably one of the worst tragedies of human existence, human trafficking, you know, which is an unfathomable fucking nightmare scenario.
Oh, yeah.
So,
And yeah, so this
straight up, you know,
right?
Yeah,
monstrous. This online community, basically, all the comments are like, "This is incredible. This is amazing. Like, this is the most I've ever seen. Some of this stuff is brand new to people that have been following this for years." And you know, some of those obsessed people are immediately going to these guys' Facebooks and you know, trying to see everything for themselves. So. I feel like this guy, that's why I said it in the research. Like it really is kind of a slog to watch these two videos. You know, he like repeats a lot of info and, you know, uses some clips over and over again. And there's some voiceover in the first one, but then the second one is just straight up reading off of cards. And but you could tell he really, really wanted to get to the bottom of it. And
right.
It was super interesting because most of the stories online are, it's the straight story of like, oh, the government says this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what's fascinating because this story has kind of been in the bunker's backlog for a while. And, you know, when you first look at it, the sources are all about, oh, why are the bones fucking bleached? And, you know, did they just fall? And what kind of animal could have done this? And what about this? And it's like, you kind of do get led down a path of like, well, I don't know. Maybe they did fucking, you can, here, let's put it this way, bunkfuckers. Let's roast ourselves. You can easily see how the two co-hosts of this fucking show would be like, yeah, clearly they fucking fell. And then some kind of thing happened that I don't have to think about or explain where their bones got bleached. It happens.
Right.
Like, you know, but this, like, you know, this, all this Facebook stuff and like, this is such a clear narrative. And it's so logical and almost...
Yeah, you know. It's like the guy Henry, like, he clearly has a thing for Dutch tourists specifically.
Is Dutch tourism to fucking Panama? Like a
I don't know, but I mean, they met other Dutch tourists when they were hanging out in that one city. So, you know, so I don't know. Maybe they just gravitate towards one another. But, well, if they found that school as a resource... Like, where did she get it? Maybe it was from another Dutch person that had a good experience with them.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to the Dutch, but, like, what school is teaching people Dutch?
Well, this is like, so it's weird because it's a Spanish language school. Literally, the name of the school is Spanish, and then under it, it says language school. And
okay,
I don't entirely know. I'm pretty sure actually a guy I grew up with runs one in Costa Rica, now that I think about it.
Okay.
But I think it's for specifically English speakers coming down and trying to learn Spanish. But
okay.
But so this is like a group of schools where kids come in and learn languages.
Oh, so it's literally It's a language school in Spanish for other languages.
Yes, only the girls didn't even speak Spanish. So
right.
They would have come in and just taught Dutch, I guess, through a translator. I don't know how that works. I have a lot of actor friends who teach English to Chinese students, either via Zoom or ESL they go programs, there, but yep. They don't speak Chinese. So I've always been like, how does that work?
You just get immersed in it, I guess.
Well,
you just have no way of really communicating with
well,
the kids.
Well, no, you know what it is? I think the kids already know like a decent amount of English.
Yeah, like kindergartner level of English.
Yeah, so they like want you to be around them just talking in English all the time and correcting them.
Well, that's how I understood it because I almost did the JET program, which is going to Japan and teaching English. And it's like, you don't need to teach English. From what I understood is you very rarely get placed in any big city. You go to the rural areas of Japan where it's like, yeah, like people don't fucking, why would they know English and they don't speak English? So you have to have a certain level of Japanese competency to do that. Like you have to at least have like a first or kindergartner's level of Japanese. And then you go and, yeah, you just kind of live with a host family and you teach English and you just get to go fucking live around Japan. It's fucking baller and it's maybe something I should have done, but who knows?
I mean, I'm sure it would have been fun. You would have gotten that good Japanese denim that you like so much.
yeah, that's true. I don't know if I was into raw denim back then, but you're right.
Well, maybe you would have become...
A raw denim aficionado.
Yeah, your future was
that would be what I'm doing.
Always leading to being a raw denim aficionado. It was just there were different paths to the same end.
That's right.
One was a more Japanese leaning one.
Yeah, but I, you know, obviously the JET program in Japan in general as a country is insanely safe, or at least that's what's projected of it. But you know, that's the one that. I can't speak from that for fucking, I don't really have the stats. That's allegorical to me. But at some level, from the stories I've heard, it's a ridiculously safe country for the most part compared to many other places.
Sure.
So,
I mean, I was, weirdly enough, when I was researching this, I got a haircut and I was telling the woman that was cutting my hair and trimming my beard, about this. And she was like, oh, my husband's from Panama. And I was like, this is really weird that I'm bringing this up. And I was like, how many times have you been to Panama? And she's like, only once. And all the local people, like, they look at you because they know you're not from there. And she's like, and they'll offer you like boat rides or, you know, to bring you somewhere. Sure. And you're like, that sounds like fun, but that boat looks like it's about to sink. And
I mean,
she was like, so, you
this
know,
is a common
yeah,
thing.
It's yeah. very common in tourist areas for, you know, people to just try to drag you and to be like, hey, come here, spend your money here. You know, it
right.
totally makes sense.
We've all been like, if you've ever been to certain, you know, like, yeah, like there's just certain tourists, they're tourist spots of countries that people like to holiday. Mm. Like it's, you know, if you go in Mexico, there's certain towns and you go in like, you know, certain places in Europe, I'm sure it's exactly the fucking same. Like they're tourist traps all over the place. Even in Chicago, there's fucking tourist traps.
Oh, absolutely. In New York, every corner is a tourist trap.
Yeah, but at least you speak the language in some level, we're talking about English speakers going to there. So you kind of, fucking, you know, have an idea of something. And but I mean, this is, you know, this is a lot of variables here. There's a lot of parameters here where you're going to a country where you don't speak the language fluently. And it's a different kind of environment. The Netherlands is very different from Panama. I mean, New York and Chicago. Yeah, the big city is a different environment from suburban or rural America or the South. But, you know, is it like another fucking world? No, I wouldn't describe it that way. I think you can still definitely get fucking marked and like spotted and taken advantage of. But at least in some levels, you know, at least you speak the language and you fucking.
Yeah, I was.
Your cell phone will
saying
work.
Saying to her that like, you know, you go to a small town anywhere that everybody just looks at you and is like, you're not from here. You know, you go to any town right. where it's like, clearly most of the people don't leave. They don't travel. Yeah. They don't go very far out of there. They just stick to their bubble. And it's just, you get that feeling of like, am I being watched?
Dude, do you have a specific? I have kind of a specific story with that. Do you have anything like that though?
No, not that I can think of off the top of my head. Please tell.
I was in some small. It's not a very fun, but I was in some small town, like outside in Ohio, mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere, like outside of one of the bigger cities.
Andy's house.
But
go on.
Andy's house. But you know, yeah, we went and got breakfast at some little tiny diner, and you could just tell immediately, like all the patrons of there are like. The regulars, and they immediately knew that we were not from around there, and that, like, you know, they're all just kind of looking at you, but eventually they kind of like, you know, whatever, it's fine. But you're right. I mean, it's immediately like that, where it's just like anytime you go somewhere, you know, yeah, even when you go to Europe, I mean, it's like, have you ever been to Europe or the UK or anything, where it's just like,
I've only been to Montreal and touched on titties, Art. It's in the research.
I went to Scotland and, you know, we were in high school, but obviously the drinking age in England is a little bit lower than what it is in America.
Hell yeah.
And we were all seniors at the time. So we were 18. But, you know, we still looked like fucking high schoolers. But obviously a group of friends got together and we were like, well, we're going to go to a pub and we're going to get drinks. Some people did. Obviously, I did not partake because
I was like, whoa, doing this? No, of course not. Of course not.
No, I went along for the ride. I got some prawns. I got a prawn appetizer at the pub.
Yo, I went
a weird thing to get.
England and I got, Scotland and I got some shrimp. It was wild.
Yeah. But like, it's like we walk into that fucking pub and it's like, okay, you know, they fucking know that one, we're American, two, we're definitely not even like, but they don't give a shit because it's like, you know, sure, they'll take our fucking money. What are they fucking? Technically, it's legal for us to be drinking in England, but it's like they know we don't have fucking English accents or Scottish accents and we're clearly fucking young. And, but
they're just,
you know,
happy to take
it's
your
one of those things.
American dollars.
Yes.
You know,
no, we probably
pounds.
Had.
Oh, the pound's actually better than the dollar. Yeah, so what am I talking about? I do have one story that I'm thinking of. In Nebraska, I was driving through with my dad and my younger brother. And actually, it was a wild trip. We went to Yellowstone and then me and my dad drove back in one shot. It was 22 hours.
You just left your brother in Yellowstone?
No, Kevin was just in the back. And and I did like the night shift, you know, like 10 p.m.
Okay, so you're, how old are you?
I guess I was 23.
Okay, so you're not like little kids.
But Kevin, he's a quadriplegic. And so he like, sometimes when he has to go to the bathroom, like, he's got to go, you know, because he has a later delayed response, which he would have no problem with me talking about on air also. But so.
Yeah, probably because he could beat you up.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. The dude's jacked.
Because your little brother is like very athletic.
Yeah, he was on Team USA's wheelchair rugby team for a while. He's finishing up school and I'm sure he'll be back on that team soon. But so it was like, oh, Kevin's got to go to the bathroom. And the only place was like a gas station with a bar. And it was the only building for 30 miles. And so we just go into this bar, the middle of the day. It's like 2 p.m. There's maybe one person in there. I don't even know if there's anyone else in there other than the bartender. And we're just like, we need to use the bathroom, like pointing to the kid in the wheelchair. And the guy's like, bathroom's for customers.
Oh my God, really? That's so fucked up.
And I was like, fine, I'll have a $2 beer. Like, it'll put me to sleep, so I'll be ready to drive later. But He wasn't wow. like, oh, of course.
Bathers he was for like, customers only.
Give me your money.
Jesus Christ. That guy's just a fucking
dick. Yeah, that was a salty attitude for sure.
Have you ever done any, like, have you ever traveled anywhere and been in a sketchy situation? Because I do have a story like that, but I'm curious if you have ever traveled somewhere.
You know what?
In a very foreign area, and then you're like, I should not fucking be
here. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I lived in Chicago and New York, so there's definitely, every right. once in a while, you turn a corner.
You've been in some areas, yeah, of Brooklyn or the Bronx where you're
it's
like.
It's not even about the areas sometimes. It's just like you catch a vibe on a, you turn a corner and all of a sudden you're like, what's going on in this street? I mean, one time.
Yeah.
One time a guy, I have no problem saying this on air also. One time a guy, I walked home like drunk after a date through an area I wouldn't usually walk through, but it was fine at midnight. And then this guy with a backpack approached me and was like really pushy about trying to sell me drugs. And I was like, no. Like I was just, but I was like talking with him because he wouldn't like leave me alone for like several blocks. And then I was coming up to my apartment and I had to make this decision of like, well, I don't want him to know where I live. Right. And
yeah.
Also, but also like, I don't want to just keep walking around with this guy, you know? So, you know, I bought some weed from him just so he'd leave me alone. So I was like, all right, I got $10. You know, but it was like, it was literally, it was just because I felt unsafe and I felt like I had to appease him.
You made the right move. I mean,
actually,
you're thinking
I bought
logically
more
instead of
from
it.
Him, but I'm not going to say that on air, I guess. It was just a did. Safety thing. I flushed it down the toilet. Not the weed. The rest.
What?
I bought acid from him. Okay? He was very pushy.
Okay. I can cut yeah, that.
You
out.
Can keep right. it in. I don't
realize
care.
What the fuck
I'm wearing
said.
A tie-dye shirt. Everybody knows.
That is very fucking sketchy, Ian, but good for you for, I guess, getting out of the
You've
situation.
You've never bought drugs from someone just so they'd leave you alone, Art?
No. I've never purchased drugs besides from a pharmacy. A reputable pharmacist, which, you know, who knows what
That's
those are
true.
Doing.
That's a whole other mess.
Me. Maybe the other drugs would be, you know, just as good for certain things. But no, again, the Scotland story. I was in Scotland for, I don't remember how long I was there. 2 weeks?
I don't know how long you were there.
Something like that. I was performing at the Fringe Festival.
You performed at Edinburgh?
Technically.
I didn't know that.
I performed at part of a arm of the Fringe Festival called the American High School Theater Festival, which is a part of Edinburgh's Fringe Festival. Now, no,
okay.
Ian, I still got to do all the things the Fringe performers got cool. to do. I got to advertise. We got a block every single day where we got to advertise our show on the Magnificent Mile there with all the other performers. I got to go see all the different Fringe acts. It's one of the coolest things in the world. I encourage everybody to go do it as some kind of big plan if you ever want to go do something really fun and worldly and see a bunch of, it's not just theater, it's comedy, stand-up, variety shows, sketch shows, puppet shows, fucking weird Shakespeare, like anything in the world that is performing arts. The Fringe Fest has it, and it's really, really fun. But we were at the opening ceremony. So again, this is the same crew, high school crew that went and...
Dude, opening ceremonies are sketchy, man. You got to stay away from those.
Yeah, it was really the opening ceremony. No, it ended very late. It had to be a little bit past midnight, and I got separated from my crew. And so now I am walking through the streets of Edinburgh, which I am not very familiar with. Now, I am a decent navigator. I am a good landmark navigator. So
Amelia Earhart could have used you, am I right?
Yeah, she could have. I would have been a great companion.
Well, navigator. It was like her navigator fucked up or something. Anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten her. I would have. She wouldn't be a fucking story with me. I'd get through the Bermuda Triangle.
I think she did too. She probably crashed in the Pacific.
True. Well, maybe one day we can cover that, Ian. Seems like you're into that story. Maybe Mr. Bunkle will have you cover that fucking topic. I'm a good landmark navigator, so I can find my way home by memorizing landmarks and knowing, oh, I need to turn right here. Oh, I turn left here. And so we were staying at the University of Edinburgh, which is not a ways, maybe a mile. I don't know. I remember it was a ways away, maybe a 15 to 20 minute walk away from the like big Edinburgh castle or wherever the fuck it was where the opening ceremony was at. But I'm walking through the streets of fucking Edinburgh, and like it's a little sketchy just because it's foreign and I don't know where I'm at. And then like I'm walking past all these pubs and like this like completely fucking drunk dude just like he like popped out from the shadows and went boo and like did that to me, and it like kind of went like, oh fuck. That's it.
Wow.
It was fine otherwise.
That did
not a very exciting story. There was lots of people around because everybody was at the opening ceremony, and now there's this mass like end of Lollapalooza, end of festival, where it's just mass people walking through the streets.
So oh, well.
I felt safe being amongst numbers, but I also didn't know where the fuck
I was. No, it's being alone that freaks me out. When,
yes.
2 in the morning on a street, and you're like, there's no one around.
You're the only one out there.
Yeah.
Right. I've had those in certain areas of the cities as well. You're like, oh, I made a wrong turn, and I'm walking the wrong way in Rogers Park. I should not be around here.
One of the most fun things when I lived in Logan Square was I used to go to a friend's house and watch basketball games or Game of Thrones. And she lived, I don't know, it was like a 15-minute walk north from me.
Your place in Logan was in kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice. It's really nice now.
It's nice now.
It's like they built the 406 when I lived there.
Oh, yeah, that walkway
so
thing.
All the property values just skyrocketed at that point. But so I would walk back from her place. I'd usually be a little drunk. And it was like fine. I'd walk back at like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then one day I learned that twice in a week along that same route in the middle of the night, a van pulled up, snatched people off the street, and would drive them around from ATM to ATM, making them take money out. And then they dumped them somewhere.
Dude.
And I was like, I am not walking that route anymore. I'm not walking anymore.
I'm riding a bicycle.
Yeah, I think I did start biking, yes.
Oh my God. Dude, I mean, that's like, that is... a thing. It is that city smarts, you know, and it does relate to this topic because I had similar stories of my college girlfriend lived a few blocks away from me in a certain area of the city. And I would, you know, either walk home or walk to her place fucking late at night. And I should not have ever fucking done that. It was very reckless of me and very fucking stupid because people got mugged all the time. Strong arm robbery. Like someone comes up to you, two people come up to you, they point a gun at your chest and they say, give me your shit. And like, this isn't, you know, yeah, it's
at that point,
stuff, so.
I do give them my shit.
Well, yeah, of course you that's the thing is right to comply and try and just reach safety. But what you're talking about, yeah, is just, and that's in our dear own city. So you got to imagine what it's like being in a place where it's like, now you're not familiar with the surroundings. Now you don't speak the fucking language.
I have.
And now you're beholden on these people who you've just met.
I have had a theory for years that if you're walking down a street, a dark street alone, then what you should do is bop or whistle the Seinfeld theme song and no one's going to mess with you.
How crazy.
And everyone's like, I like Seinfeld too. I'm not going to rob that guy.
He's a man of good taste. Let's leave him alone. Yeah.
He's with us. What's up. Yeah, but it's crazy. This is a crazy story.
It's a tragic story. And so are there any other main talking points that you kind of want to bring up? Any sort of
man, there is there is so much to bring up. Like the details of
the details. The bleached bones. What do you make of the bleached bones?
Oh.
Because that's always the thing that was like, what?
So I do have a whole theory here as to what like happened. And this is me speculating. I haven't necessarily seen anyone else really say this, but what happened, they were taken to this cabin on April 2nd, and then for 3 days they kept the cabin and then a cave. And for there was even somebody that found garbage near this cave, and the cops were like, don't worry about it. But it was clearly their garbage. So for 3 days, they were trying to call 911, trying to get signal. Only one time did it actually connect to a cell tower, but only for like a second. After that, somebody else was trying to get into one of the phones, but could never get the PIN right. So what I'm thinking is if this went from human trafficking to an organ harvesting situation. So there's a lot of disparity as to why was one way decomposed and why was the other not decomposed. And there's actually a guy online that has like a deep dive scientific study about like the elevation, you know, the rain at the time of the year, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why the rainforest at that time, like why it would have been so unusual for the skin to still be on any bones or not, it was crazy. There is like a very scientific thing online
as to why the skin didn't just like decompose?
It's all yes, actually. And it's also like the bleach on the bones.
It not decomposing is normal. Given the altitude and the weather,
decomposing
and all
is normal. There was
The decomposing is not the thing that is
no.
Like,
it's
what
the rolled it's, up it's, fruit roll up of skin, and the fucking
oh my god,
and the skin on the foot that's still in the shoe. Let me see. It's this website called Imperfect Plan.
And he's saying why that shouldn't happen or should happen.
So. He was giving scientific reasoning for why there wouldn't be skin if one of the girls was dead for 4 months.
Oh, so they killed one, harvested her organs, kept the other one alive.
Yes, that is what I'm thinking. They kept her alive until somebody had another order for something, which is why there were all those pictures 10 days later or whatever it was. So it's like... And they were even at a well-known spot where some of those pictures are taken, which is why the police said they fell at that one place, because they're like, they fell in that one river. Cause they're like, see this picture, this rock, that's at that river. And you're like, yeah, but that's 10 days later. So yeah, I think that they took Chris's lungs and then killed her and bleached all the bones, with,
so they did the bleaching.
Yes, exactly. This guy, Imperfect
to hide evidence,
did a... What does it mean for bones to be bleached?
Because there's like wild, like stupid fucking theories that are like, maybe they got abducted by cannibals.
Oh, I forgot to bring that up.
Some kind of animal that, some kind of animal that came along. And it's like, come on, dude. These are clearly these bones... Bones.
There was a cult in the area, or like a religious thing that did kill people and
something
for
like
exorcism
that.
Sacrifices. So that was a thing. Bleaching implies that someone intentionally tried to dissolve the body and or bones in some form of chemical, likely fertilizer that contained lime. This process is called alkaline hydrolysis. hydrolysis. Huh. So he has a whole chemical reason for the fact that they tried to get rid of the bones, get rid of everything with like a chemical process, using fertilizer. He has a section called accidental bone preservation. Through some sort of use of lime in their attempt to destroy the evidence, they accidentally preserved them. Well, that's interesting. I didn't read that before. There's a lot of stuff going on, man. It's bad too. The family like doesn't want to hear about it anymore. The families, they knew that the government fucked this up 8 years ago, and they're tired of fighting. I guess I never heard if that lawsuit went through. I'm not 100% on that. There's a lot of stuff about the affiliations of the gang members and some smaller stuff about like. So basically, the school sent them to Miriam and sent them to the tourist or the tour guide. But also the tour guide was like, hey, go eat at this place. Hey, you know, check out this spot. And these spots that they went to are known like family members of the gangs. And so in a weird way, it's kind of like they always had eyes on the girls. Is the sense of it, and that they could strike when they're most vulnerable, and they could manipulate them to be in a position to be vulnerable. So I don't think their plan necessarily was like, okay, bring the red Jeep over once they're done with the hike and then tell them to go to the spring. I think it was more like, okay, they're going here. Let's see if we can manipulate this situation to snatch him up naturally. Okay, not that one.
Right.
Check out this brunch spot. You know, there's a path between the brunch spot and there. Maybe we'll try that. Okay, that doesn't work out. You know, I think it was a very coordinated effort. I think that there is like legitimately like a system in place, a line of collusion, if you will. And there are people online that call out like the owner of the school online and stuff. Her name was like, her initials were there, but the rest of her name was like starred out in a lot of stuff. There was one Reddit user who was adamantly like, you guys are just a bunch of online nerds and they probably just fell and they're just like two girls getting lost in the woods and shut up.
It's Andy's all the time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is Occam's Razor says the official account is bullshit.
That's true. Like,
there is so much here that is ignored, and it's
verifiable evidence. Like, it's like there's posting, there's like stuff. I mean, it's like, come on, man. Like, how the fuck did their phones were smashing against rocks and they dialed 911? Like,
right.
Come on.
And like,
come on.
Right. I mean, that was me making that up, but like they never gave an explanation for that. They just said, nope, they fell.
Yeah.
And it's like, so when did they fall? Well, they fell. So did they fall on the 11th or the 1st? Because they called for emergency at 4:30 on April 1st, but clearly they're still alive on April 11th, or at least one of them is. So what the fuck are you saying? And they're like, case closed. Goodbye.
Well, Ian, I think we've already kind of touched on verdicts. We've dipped our little toesies. We have our little socks. We have our shoes off. We have our socks off. We have our little toesies dipped into this verdict pool. And I think we should dive right in here, my man. Would you care to go first?
I mean, there is a bunker scale of plausibility, of course, that I don't even need to refer to because this is a case closed. I sincerely think that this was a human trafficking incident and that their organs were harvested. And until there is further evidence to say something else happened, it genuinely feels like a very real government cover-up because they didn't want the story to get out of hand. They wanted to control the news cycle. There was reference to some other tourist dying in another country that like killed their tourism revenue. So it's like they were very aware of that symptom. And they buried it, man. They buried it 6 feet fucking under. Yeah. And
this is a bad one.
It is. I mean, the thing about it is people are like, oh, well, Panama is a well-known corrupt government. And I'm like, I'm sure the U.S. does this regularly. I don't see the U.S. government not doing this. And I'm not like some, I'm not a crazy conspiracy guy per se, but, you know, MK Ultra happened.
Trafficking is a thing.
Right, governments do this to protect themselves in a weird way and in a dark way. And there's no reason not to think it, unless they are that stupid, unless they truly are that stupid.
Or they're doing feigned ignorance where it's like, well, I wasn't aware
right.
of the facts.
Or like,
don't ever tell me the facts.
One thing I will say is it's like, some of this stuff between like YouTube and the guy who did the deep dive chemical research and stuff, because he had his own theories that came to essentially the same thing as well. It's like, unless for some reason, all of that is just internet bullshit. But it doesn't feel like that to me. You know, these sources feel like they truly cared and truly did the work to discover it. It's not just what website. Like, it is. It's like, who's this guy and what website is this? But you can tell it's organized. It's a story that has been well thought out. And the clues have been put together. And this leads to this leads to this. And you know, the things that when you first hear about the story, like, whoa, they just disappeared. And how did the bones get there? And they were bleached, but then their skin on one of them. It totally, like, in my mind, it's like a movie where I'm going, how are they going to explain this? And by the end, I'm amazed that they do. You know, like.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
I just...
You definitely think it's one thing, right? You're like, oh, okay, well, they got lost in the fucking jungle, and then, I don't know.
Right, and all the loose ends are tied with this. I mean, it really explains why they would be at different levels of decomposition, why they would be, you know, their captivity would be dragged out in a weird way, you know, why they'd be in multiple different places. It all checks out to me.
Yeah. Great verdict, Ian. I'm with you, but I'm gonna use the opposite end of the scale just because it happens so infrequently. I'm going case confirmed. This is a cover up.
Oh, and I meant case confirmed.
Right. I mean, you said what you meant. I think the bunk bunkers understand. It's either case closed or case confirmed. You're either case closed on it being they fell, or your case confirmed on it being
a cover-up. For someone that listened to 6,800 minutes of Mr. Bunker last year, I'm ashamed that I messed that up.
You so rarely get to use a case confirmed as well, so you really got to.
I couldn't believe that it was.
Yeah, I know.
Because when I first started reading the story, I did not think I would be. I was like, "Oh, this seems kind of interesting." Yeah. And I'm pretty blown away by it. Like, I gotta recommend that shitty YouTube documentary. I gotta recommend it to everyone out there that's interested, or the one guy's website.
You look that up. I'll give my verdict here. Case confirmed. Definitely a cover up. There is some. I mean, this is one of the darkest dredges of human existence. Human trafficking is just. I can't. It turns the stomach and it really leaves a fucking.
It's so bad. It's unbelievable to me that it's real. It's frequent and it's the worst it's ever been.
Right.
You know.
Right, and it's continuing to happen in the modern day where it's like this is. There's been probably thousands of Lisans and Chris's.
And that's like some Breaking Bad shit to use a Spanish language school as a front for human trap. Yeah. Like, as this, who figured this out? Who was like, okay, so we're going to start a Spanish language school and we're going to bring in tourists and we're going to tell the tourists to go here. But really, when they go here, I'm going to have my guy tell them, no, you should go there. And when they go there, that's when we'll get them. But then he'll the guy that is the one that's supposed to see them. So it'll seem logical when he goes to the police and reports them missing and they wouldn't suspect him, because why the fuck would they? Like, who figured this out? This is crazy.
This is that criminal mindset. This is a tale as old as time. This has been passed down through the ages. And it's disgusting and it's horrible. And I hope that by us, you know, fucking shedding some light on it and this YouTube series, which, do you have the link?
It's called Alternate Theories.
Who knows? Maybe we can put some pressure on it.
The guy's name is Joe Bankston. I mean, right. It's not like he has... He did start... The second video starts out with some weird production company name. It's like Second Woke Films or something. I was like... I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Look, they're doing... bad production value.
Good research. Wow, wait. It only has 33,000 views now? But it was... Ugh, whatever. It's good.
Check it out, Bugfunkers. And when you do, let us know your verdicts on this topic. Use the hashtag. Ian, you got a good hashtag?
Hashtag. Take my time to lead me away from you. Hashtag Toto's Africa. 100 miles, man, I live, I do. I'm in the rain down in Africa. And then in the rain down in Africa.
Oh, good Lord.
Wait, what was the...
The
metal band you referred to? What was the band in there? You made a joke about a...
Van Halen? They have a song called Panama. Yeah.
Oh, right. It's Panama.
Yeah, use the hashtag Panama.
Van Halen's Panama, I think.
Use the hashtag Van Halen's Panama. And let us know what you think. Obviously, email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. But first, Ian, what exciting adventures before we do all that do you have to
very
plug
soon, yours, I my think friend. Mid-April to late April, One and Done TV
very
is going to launch.
Mid-April.
I know I've been teasing the Bunk Funkers with this for months. I'd say at least 3-4 months now. So that is going to happen. We have some hopefully exciting developments that'll take it a little bit beyond what I hoped it could be. But that's really fun. And obviously, me and Natalie have 100% sweatpants. Watch that on YouTube. Again, we've been teasing the Bunk Funkers with this for a while now, but we will do more stuff on that channel at some point soon. Soon being relative. Get ready to wait. And then our production company that we're really starting is called Lack of Hustle Media. And all our stuff is going to be under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. At some point, we'll have a nice, neat website for all that.
Wow. Look at that. Bunkfunkers, check it out. 100% sweatpants.
And Venmo me at Hamilton.
Have you ever received a Venmo?
No. For your hundreds of thousands of listeners, you think I'd get one Venmo.
You would think you'd get one. But Bunkfunkers, you could be the first to send Ian Hamilton money.
Send me money.
Bunkfunkers, again, One and Done TV. You'll be hearing about them as soon as they launch. Trust us. 100% sweatpants and Lack of Hustle Media. You can follow Ian on socials.
Instagram at Hamilton. Yeah. That's it. I used to have a Twitter, and then it drove me insane.
Yeah. I used to see your mad Twitter ramblings. So I'm glad to.
Oh, yeah. I kind of miss it. It used to be my screaming into the void, but it's no
not
longer
good for
a
the
void.
Mental health.
No.
But you know what, Bunkfunkers? The Hamiltons and the Hamilton Solid. the Hamill. What do you guys fucking sometimes call yourselves?
Hamill
Sullivans.
You say Hamiltons, which is good. We'll say O'Sullitans.
Yeah.
O'Hamilvins.
Right. You guys are always with and around the circle and in the lore. So Bunkfuckers, you'll always be kept up to date on their adventures. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Ian, any closing remarks before I fucking eject you out of the bunker? Or actually, you know what? You need to actually fucking help clean up, Ian.
What?
Because there is all these fucking plates that aren't flat, well, but like are kind of have a little bit of an index. Yeah. So
they're like trays almost.
I know. We got to fucking, like, you got to clean those out before we put them in the bunker dishwasher.
Oh, man. At home, I have this plastic scraper that's so good for getting cheese off and stuff. It's just a little plastic thing that you wouldn't think would be really good. You know all those arguments you have about soaking dishes?
Oh, for countless.
Exactly. Forget it, because you have this little plastic scraper that does all that for you.
Yeah.
So I also get ahead of it, and I usually, if I know something is very scrapable, it's going to need scraping later or soaking, I try to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
And then I give it a good wash and scrape later as well. So I'm just going to plug that plastic scraper. It's really changed our lives.
Bunkfuckers, there you go. Check it out. Closing statement from Ian. Check out a plastic scraper for getting hard things off, stuck surfaces off of the things you need to
cheese,
clean.
Cheese, you know. Yeah,
cheese baked on grease, baked on
sauce.
If you burn
something onto you know.
Yeah. Bunkfuckers, well, for not the titular Mr. Bunker, but for my Rufuscent co-host, Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
What?
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!